Attention WFIA members, the virtual 2024 WFI convention will be this fall from September 13th through September 15th, 2024. Scheduled to appear are the world's strongest man, Ken Patera, the world's most dangerous announcer, Gary Michael Capetta, Bill Apter, and just recently signed, the High Flyers, Jumpin' Jim Brunzell and Greg Gagne. And folks, there's more coming on board. So run, don't walk to your keyboard. Get on that computer. Check the WFIA.org website and our Facebook page to see when these guys are going to be scheduled and their prices. Folks, if you are not a WFIA member, you will be paying an additional fee. So go to the WFIA.org today and register, become a member, and enjoy the podcast.
This is Elijah Drago, the Ukrainian-born driller, and you listen to WrestleWheel Podcast. If you're not listening to that, I'll rush you.
I'm your host, Vinny Berry. You're listening to the WrestleWheel Podcast, part of the Fans First Sports Network, where you can find this episode and all our other episodes, where you download your favorite podcasts, and at WrestleWheel.com. My guest this episode is Elijah Drago. How are you, sir?
Hello, hello, hello. Nice to meet you.
Hey, nice to meet you, too. Let's see. If I was a betting man, I'd just by hearing your accent, I'd say you're from like New Jersey or something.
No, sir. I'm from Kyiv, Ukraine. From Kyiv, Ukraine, the capital of Ukraine, the biggest country in Europe.
Wow. Yep. And of course, if you know, you have to be living under a rock not to know what's going on in your country. Talk a little bit about what is going on in your country and how you got over here to United States.
Oh, yeah. So long story short, the Russia invaded our country like 2 years ago. And because of that, like United States of America created a program to help us like as a Ukrainians to save our lives and help us like to build a future, to open the gates and like just travel for free in America. This is like very unique program, very unique like situation. So they help us with that and I can be here and follow and chase my goal to be a professional wrestler and build a career, you know? So it's like, but before that, I tried to get in America and I was denied, like reject, because it's very hard. It's very hard. For a lot of countries, a lot of guys to be here. And I'm very grateful and very blessed that I have this opportunity, that I'm safe with my family here and I can do what I like to do every day. It's wrestling. So.
But I would imagine when your country was invaded, there was a lot of uncertainty, right? There's, you know, and it was, from what I saw, a very swift and a very, I mean, it was very fast and very destructive.
Yeah, I swear it was like in a movie, like in some blockbusters you saw, it's like you just sleep and now you hear like airplanes and you hear the rockets and it's 5 a.m. and your house is shaking like from earthquake. You just don't know. And not any human being in the earth ready for that. Not anybody. Like, it doesn't matter how tough you are, like how like tough you think you are. The moment you feel that and see that, you just want to like, you want to survive and feel so unsafe. So it was the darkest times for all Ukrainians. Yeah, it's like I have still like I still have like chills from just remember that day. It's like 2 years ago. 24 February 22. So, well, yeah, it was the darkest days in my life. And not just me and 40 million Ukrainian nation.
Right. No, I can imagine. And yeah, I got to see some of the clips on the news and, you know, I probably saw a very small percentage of the damage, right? Because I'm not over there. I'm just getting little bits and pieces. So, but what I saw was devastating. So I'm glad that, you know, you're in a safe place. Did your family?
Yes.
Well, are they safe?
Yes, yes. Like, it was the goal, me, my wife, your parents, like, we all come together, because I can't be there here alone and succeed my life, like follow my goals, and like, it's, we're all here together. Well, now I'm like, yeah, now I feel like safe, and for them too. So, yeah, so, hard time.
So, did you want to be a professional wrestler when you were in Ukraine or when you came to the United States?
No, it's what, like, because like with the war starting, a lot of countries around the world, they like open their like borders for us. But I know, like, I always want to be in America, because, like, when I first seen wrestling from day one, I understand, like, I want to be a professional wrestler. I want to be in a spotlight. I want to be a highlight reel, all of this stuff. So, like, since 2009, I, like, yes, I want to be in America, because it's born here and no other country, you know? So, and now it's, like, the war started. America opened the gates, and now I'm here, like. Simple math for me, yeah?
Hey, all you got your wrestling fans out there, listen, old Bad Bart has got a book. It's called Wrestle. I like that. It's got some dead dumb good stories in there about some dead dumb good wrestlers.
Read stories of Dusty Rhodes, the Von Erichs, Scott Casey, Sergeant Slaughter, Roddy Piper, Mr. Fuji, Ron Bass, Bruiser Brody, Mike Davis, the Grappler, and many others.
And I guarantee you one thing, that it'll be the best dead gum read you've had in a long, long time.
Get your book today at WrestleVille.com or on Amazon. WrestleVille, it's where wrestling lives.
How did you find the Nightmare Factory?
I know some guy and like, I just tried to find some schools when I like originally go to Washington, Seattle, Washington. I fly there and I just tried to find some schools to wrestle. But it was like hard to find something really like good to work and train. But like, I met some guys and they tell me that I need to go to the Georgia to Nightmare Factory, because they will see me, they will know how to work with me, and they definitely help me to like succeed like in my career. So it's mean about like Cody Rhodes, QT Marshall, and Billy Gunn. This is like, especially QT Marshall and Billy Gunn. This is my two mentors, coaches, and they like helped to build myself like as a real professional wrestler, as a real pro. So I'm very grateful for that.
So you can't ask for a better team of coaches.
No, it's the best place in America. Like, I never was in, like, Black and Brave, like Seth Rollins School or Booker T, reality of wrestling. But I guarantee you, with the mind of QT Marshall, he's, like, underrated genius. People just don't know him in person. He has so much passion and so great mind about wrestling business that like it's unmatched. And Billy Gunn is the legend that know everything about wrestling. He have like 35 years experience, and he helped me so much. So he built me, he trained me so much to help me, you know, like to be where I want to be. And I just, it's the best place, I guarantee.
Yeah. When you said that about QT, I agree. I think he's underrated too. He's What a treasure in wrestling, right? I mean, that guy, he's knowledgeable. He's got a great work ethic. He understands professional wrestling.
Yeah,
absolutely. So, since you've been here, what do you think one of the biggest things that you had to adapt to, you know, from living in the Ukraine to living in the United States?
A lot of people who was never there, they was not ready for American mentality, you know, because like it's very different. But for some people like me, I'm all right with that, because like I don't know, I just like have that mentality, you know, when I was preparing myself for that. Like, so, but in other people who try to immigrate here, they don't like, you need to pay for everything, bills, taxes, trouble, like the medical insurance, you know, it's like, it's not that like acceptable, like it's in our countries, you know, because we have like much, much easier, like, infrastructure. I don't know how to call it in English. So they're just so much closer to people, you know, like when you have like, you want to have something, it's so much easier and acceptable.
Right. So different system, right?
Yes. Yeah. But like all the countries, everybody has ups and downs, but probably America still is like the number one country in the world, because it's a like dream for everybody to be here. So with all ups and downs, you know, so, but like, I'm complaining about anything. I'm happy that I'm here. I'm grateful that I'm here. It's one of a kind opportunity, you know. And you know, when you have like full mind on your like goals, and you like just reach to them, and you work hard, like everything else doesn't matter, you know, like something that you like you're not used to, like in your country, and it doesn't matter for me. I just train, eat, sleep, gym, you know, every day. So does anything else, it doesn't matter.
You spend time in the gym, I would have never noticed.
Yes. Every day. Night perfector, man.
Hey, so how tall are you and what's your weight?
So I know that a lot of guys like to plus couple of inches, you know, to their height, because like they try to be taller or bigger. So my probably real height, like 6'3" or 6'4", but in the boots it's maybe 6'5", you know, so even more, because wrestling boots like give you the little like inches, you know. And 250 pounds right now, this morning, 250 pounds. I just maintain this weight. It's just my regular weight. I can do everything with that weight, like jump with this weight, do acrobatic stuff, you know, and this is my weight because I'm pretty tall. And yeah, but like I tried to reach to Billy Gunn, who's like 270, you know, and he's like a tank, and compared to him, I just like a little skinny guy. It's like crazy. Yeah.
Well, you're impressive to look at. When I first saw you, I thought, wow, I had to really take a second look. I went on your page a couple times, and I thought, I haven't seen a wrestler look like you in a long time. And if you've seen independent wrestling in this country, there's a lot of small guys, you know?
Oh, yeah, correct. Yeah. I just, like, I'm not, like, trying to put my ego, but, yeah, whenever I go somewhere, yeah, I'm the biggest guy. Biggest guy there and, like, the best-looking guy. But I put a lot of work from that, you know, before wrestling career. I just know that if I want to be a wrestler, I need to look like a wrestler and need to look like a star. So I train a lot for like 10 years before I have a wrestling debut, 10 years in the gym. Because like every superstar needs to look like a superstar.
I believe that too. I believe that too. And you stand out, you have a unique look, and you're having fun, right?
Oh, yeah. Thank you. Yeah. Thank you for your words. I appreciate it. Yeah. Of course. I'm also like addicted to gym. It's not just like doing gym because like I want to be like a star. Now it's like addiction. You go to the gym as your mental routine every day. And if you're not trained, you feel weird and you feel like you're a little mad. So it's like part of that. Like the guys who will hear us, like who always like a gym rats every day in the gym, they will know what I mean. You know, it's just part of your life and you can't understand how doing in another way, you know.
No, you know what? I'm 55 years old, and this about I've been going to the gym for a couple years now. But I think in November I thought, you know what? I'm going to step up my dedication, and I'm off this week, and I've actually been going in the morning and in the afternoon some days, you know. So
oh yeah, cool.
Yeah.
course.
I mean, I feel great.
Exactly. It's not just like your presence in the mirror and on the screens, but also it's like give you so much joy and the way how you feel yourself, you know, healthier, younger.
Right.
So, yeah.
It helps the brain too, right, man?
Yeah. Definitely.
I love that feeling of, you know, when I'm working out and then I stop and then it feels like a rush going to my head, you know. And
the best feeling after the training, you just feel I have the best feeling, you know, like you just feel so much like you achieved something and now the day will go like exactly like you want to go. Because like you're done for today. It's like the best feeling.
Right. Yep. Going back to the Nightmare Factory, you know, there's quite a few guys and gals that have come out of that yep. gym, right?
Yep. Like, you mean the guys who's like, we can see them on TV right now?
Yeah, some people that are making some waves on the independent scene or even on TV. Can you name yep. some?
Yeah, I know that like Julia Hart, she's the TBS champion in AEW. She's like, she was trained in the camp and she signed by AEW. And I already have my development deal with AEW, so I'm signed by them. And probably right now, just I will wrestle as dark matches, you know, just to have development and improvements. But I hope whenever I'm ready to be on TV, I will be ready, you know. So, Carly Bravo, the tag team, well, he's the part of the tag team. He also like started probably camp one. So it's like 2 years ago or so. And now they will have a match with FTR on Collision for a tag titles tournament, you know. So a couple of names. Yeah. Like never trained before a camp or have a little training before the camp. And now they have a professional wrestler that signed, you know. So, and it's the factory itself. Like people think that they will come there and they will be stars or they will be signed. But the issue, like not the issue, but the nuance like about that it's like you pay the money, you apply, you submit and you trade. No like criteria, you know? So everybody who want like try it or have the money to pay, they will pay and trade. But a lot of people doesn't have the talent or doesn't have will, you know, so not everybody can be a wrestler. It's the biggest like misconclusion because like you have like 1% of NBA players, you know, NHL players, NFL players. Not everybody can be on that level, you know. So, but the wrestling fans can be a wrestler because it's easy, like just go and trade. But they need to understand it's the same to be making like AEW or WWE. It's like two biggest leagues. You need to be the most like talented, the most better in something, you know? So it's not for everybody, but they still can try, you know, like through the camps. And if they feel they like want to continue, they will train after like you can stay after and train. It's not like just 12 weeks and that's it. You can stay in Georgia. Like I don't fly away. I here stay here for almost 1 year and train because no better place. And if you work hard, if you have talent for that, you have a work ethic, like the doors is open, you know, because it's easy because people want to make money. And if you help make the money, they will pay you money, you know. So, yeah. But because like if you know, for example, in Georgia, like it was the WCW power plant. Yeah. But like for almost 10 years from 90 to 2001. But it was like a wrestling school, but no, it's not like these days, like when you can just pay money and go there. They have a trial to just be invited in the school. And also you need to be at least 6 feet tall, 200 something pounds. And you need to have a trial with 100,000 push-ups, squats and everything. And if you like survive, now then you can be in that school. So now these days anymore, nobody does it. So why they do it back then? Because they want to find the best one. The big, like the most athletic, most agile guys, you know, best looking guys. Nowadays, everybody can be a wrestler, like want to be a wrestler. They can try to be a wrestler. So that's why I tell you, that's why it's not a lot of people from factory can be a professional, like really professional wrestlers and be a stars. Cause like it just, random guys like who works like in Walmart can just apply and trying to be, you know. So, but some guys who have experience like for a couple of years, they go and like and train the camp with all the green guys just because like they want to improve themselves and just to show what they have, you know. So, yeah. But I hope like, yeah, more people from factory will come like and shine on TV, you know, and on independent wrestling scene.
Once they get into the Nightmare Factory, like you said, not everybody's going to become a star if they go through there. However, they have everything there that they need if they put in the effort, right?
Yes, the door is there. You can open that, like they show you the door, but you need to open the door, you know? So yeah, and they have give you all the tools, you know? When you have like Cody Rhodes, like when he have a free schedule, Cody Rhodes is there. Teach you how to cut the promos, how to do a promos. My God, you just have a promo yesterday in Raw. It was fantastic. So this guy helped you to build the promo, give you some advice in the ring. You have QT Marshall and Billy Gunn. Oh my God, you know? It's not just connection, what the people like, where work these people, but it's also there's so much knowledge. Every time you perform and do matches, it's still tips, lessons that you learn, right? And if you're coachable, if you listen, and if you not do mistakes next time, they see it and you will have your chances and opportunities. It's more like that. You just need to be coachable, you know?
So, right. And when you were talking about getting to the big stage, I recently talked to Lindsay Dorado and he said, 1% of the 1% gets there.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, it's like, that's why I like have like examples of NBA, you know, or, like big leagues, because like, yeah, being there, it's like top of the league in the world or like United States. So it's not like for everybody, but like if you have work ethic and talent, you like Georgia, McDonough, Nightmare Factory, the best place, best place.
You know, take American football, for example, you know, you could have some stars in college, right?
Yeah.
Or in high school. And they go to college. They don't translate in college. You have some guys that are superstars in college and they go to the NFL and people are like, whoa, what happened to him? He was so good in college. Those are the elite of the elite football players.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, exactly. It's hard to get into the NFL.
Exactly. Yep. So, yeah, it's like, I'm not like, expert in football because I'm a fan of soccer, you know, because we are Europeans. So for us, soccer is football. Yeah, but football here is like they have divisions like 3, 2, 1, and it's like the levels, you know. So some guys will be forever in the level 3 or 2 or 1 and never make even to NFL. But being in like division 1 player is probably still great, you know. We like achieve this if you're like, yeah. So it's like not everybody want to be a superstar or like I said, belong or born be a star, but you have a lot of guys who the mid card or like open, like, you know, I'm not telling jobbers, but you know what I mean, jobbers, but have great salary. They like they're like stars, whatever, you know, they lose every match, but they make ton of money. So it's like, this is like, that's why wrestling is for everybody. You know, you have always find your spot. It's not like you should, everybody will be the Rock and Stone Cold because, you know, by the wrestling, like you can find a spot for you, of course. So definitely.
Absolutely. Where do you think you see yourself in, say, 2 years?
World heavyweight champion, yeah. But definitely, like, yeah, I definitely want to be on, like, you seen on TV and using TV every week. I mean, AEW, because I'm signed with them, but WWE, AEW, I mean, just being on TV. I don't want to just collect money because wrestling is my passion, and like I said, I want to be in the spotlight. I want to be like, you know, seen on TV. That's why my goal is wrestle or perform on TV every week, be there every week. So this is the goal for right now, because it's like, if you said it, 2 years, you know, but of course, like long time, it's try to be a world champion, you know, the foreign heel from Europe. Yeah,
right.
Yep. And by the way, I'm not like, I'm second Ukrainian in history of like, I don't know right now, because first one, if you may remember, it was Vladimir Kozlov. he was like beat the Undertaker clean on SmackDown, and he's from my city, Kyiv, Ukraine. And they portrayed him as a Russian, but nowadays you can do it because like I'm from Ukraine, and some independent like guys reached to me and said, "Oh, can you do Russian stuff?" I said, "Do you just understand what you asked to do? Like it's so disrespectful to me." But yeah, like 15 years ago, like Vladimir Kozlov was portrayed as a Russian guy. And yeah, they tried to push him and he tried to, I mean, he beat Undertaker clean, you know, it's like whatever you see, whatever you can say is cool. So I tried to be the second Ukrainian to make it to the big league, you know?
Right, right. And you did make an interesting point. That would be a hard pill to swallow, right? For someone asking you to do a Russian gimmick, right?
Oh yeah, because my accent and I speak Ukrainian and Russian too, like fluently, of course. Like, and during my matches and during like my character build on that foreigner. But there's big difference nowadays. If like 15 years ago I came here, like some people ask me to do it, like I can, okay, because we was felt all the years like a brothers, like our countries, Ukraine and Russia. But nowadays, like, you know, they took so many lives and destroyed so many lives. So it's for generation, like the rivalry, you know, we can accept. So when people like some Americans have their lives and they don't follow what's happening there. But when you're writing me like that in the ongoing war, it's like so disrespectful and so unprofessional, you know, like that. It's crazy. So I was just like, no, I have Ukrainian flags that I want to like represent in my character and my entrances, you know, like have like ideas what I want to do and how I want to do so. Because I'm proud that I'm the guy from Ukraine. I'm proud that like what I do, and because I'm probably nobody else right now from Ukraine doing what I do. The goal I set, you know. So I'm very proud of that. But
good, man. That's good. How can fans find you on social media, Elijah?
I have the Instagram. It's Elijah Drago, Elijah.Drago. I have the Facebook. It's also Elijah Drago, and probably that's it. Yeah, I'm not big right now on the social media, but you can follow me there and follow. Yeah.
All right. Well, that's how I found you.
Oh, yeah.
Like, wow, look at this guy. Then I watched some matches on YouTube. I went to YouTube, and there's a couple matches on there.
Yeah, I mean, the best matches I have, because I don't have a lot of matches right now, but the best matches I have, then they will not be on YouTube. But the matches that like not going as good as you want, they're on YouTube and have some views from, because like some people from my country follow me, and it's like, you know, I have my like the waves of people who try to find me and know me, you know, they just like, it's cool to support Ukrainian, you know, just find me. And but it's not the best matches I want to like showcase and represent, but whatever, you know. Yeah, yeah.
You're a diamond in the rough, man.
Yeah, thank you.
Hey, we all got to start somewhere. But you know what? Like I said, you caught my eye. I enjoy watching you work, and yes. I really do think you have a promising future. I'm really excited for you, man.
Oh, I appreciate your words. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. You're welcome. And you're welcome back anytime.
Oh, yeah. Thank you.
You're listening to the WrestleVille Podcast, where wrestling lives.
Yeah, it's your boy, Dirty Cam, and that's Cam with a K.
And I'm AR2.
And we are the Russell Twins. And you're listening to the WrestleVille Podcast.
The WrestleVille Podcast is brought to you by no other, your host, Vinny Barry, the GOAT, you already know. And he brings you some of the greatest professional wrestlers around the globe, giving you the full exclusive details on their personal and professional lives. But wait, there's more. Do you like books?
I like books, Cameron. You like books?
Of course. Well, man, look, the Russell Twins just declared that you are in luck. All you have to do is visit WrestleVille.com.